Father, this morning, God, as we gather in your house together for the first time in 3 months, God, we worship you. We celebrate you. We celebrate just being here, God, and just we've missed what this feels like. We've missed our family. We've missed just being in the same room together, worshiping together, all in one accord. God, this is a precious moment for us. I thank you, Father, for the lessons that you have taught us along the way. I thank you for the longing that you have created in us for your church place where we gather. I thank you for what you've spoken to every single heart, God. I thank you for, I know the things that I have heard from people, God, just bless me, encourage me. God, I know that your timing is perfect. God, I know that you brought us back together at just that moment, God, when some of us were really beginning to feel disconnected, and God, in your grace and in your mercy, God, just paved the way for us to be here. God, this morning, I just want to pray for our nation. I want to pray for the turmoil that we've been in. And God, you know as well as we know, but maybe we need to be reminded, God, that we're broken. That sickness and disease came in as a result of sin. That division comes in as a result of sin. And we can't fix things from the outside in. You have to fix them from the inside out. God, we just surrender our hearts to you. God, show us our sin. Show us where we're wrong. Show us where we contribute in our pride, our anger, our arrogance. Calm our hearts. God, you've never left your throne. There is no reason to not have confidence. But our confidence is not in this world. It is in you and you alone. And that is where we will put our trust. We will not worry. We will not fear. We will trust in the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. We will love our neighbor as ourselves. We will esteem others higher than ourselves. We will wear their shoes. God, I lift up the family of George Floyd. God, it doesn't matter what the circumstances were. We lost him and in a way that never should have happened. Because we're sinners. God, I pray for our police officers who now may have to go home fearfully every day because of what one person did. And we need them. I pray for their hearts. I pray for our protesters. We don't know what's in their heart. Every group is different. But God, what we do know is that you don't solve crime by committing a crime. We don't hurt brothers and sisters because a brother was hurt. May it begin with us in this room. All I can do is control me. And God, I need you to help me do that. But God, may we lay down each and every preconceived idea. May we lay our hearts before your throne and say, change my heart, even if I don't think it needs to be changed. May we love one another with such power and such conviction that the world sees it and wants Jesus. God, if the best we can be is inside this room, we've wasted it. Help us to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Because anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. And we are here to honor you and you alone. Father, this morning, God, as we come back together and we start a brand new summer series, I pray that we're able to pick up where we left off, that you give us that momentum in each one of our lives, each one of our hearts, to not be the same as we were this time last year. That we have not forgotten what we're talking about, that we're still pursuing that journey. I pray that you reignite our hearts. Teach us your word, your way, and help us to understand and to give us the strength to die to ourselves every day for the glory of your name. Thank you for Common Ground Church. Thank you for Jesus. We pray it in his name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. It is good to be back in this place, actually seeing bodies. I've had so many people, I told Ginger this morning, I've had so many people say to me, I need to see Ginger worship. So many people say that. I have missed Ginger. I've missed everybody. Thank you, honey. It's just good to be back. This morning, I want to remind you of where we've been real quick. We've been talking about progressing in our Christian life, moving forward in our Christian life, growing so that in January of 2021, we can see this marked change in our lives because of the decisions that we made, some realizations that we had, some choices that we made, some intentionality that we put into our lives. And so if you remember, we've been talking about not being the same, reasons why we might have been the same as we were last year or the year before or the year before or all of those years. We've looked at our own hearts. We looked at our circumstances. We looked at whether or not we're saved. We've looked back at spiritual markers to say, are they there? And if they are, great. If they're not, why? And we've looked at the fact that you can never use your rearview mirror as your guide. Amen? Where you've been, you can't go back to. It's there for a reason, to remember so we don't make the same mistakes again. It's to remember the spiritual markers. But we got to have a front windshield so we can drive. And it's got to be a whole lot bigger than the rear view mirror. Let's get it in perspective. Amen? You can't go back. Even during this these 3 months, if you fell by the wayside and you didn't intend to, if you got distracted, if you didn't know what to do with your time, if you just got caught up in technology instead, it's yesterday. And today is today. And all we have is today. And today, we're going to start a summer series where we're going to talk about something that I believe is really missing from the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean the church universal because I've never been to another country, but I think the American church, I think the Texas church, I think the Bridge City churches, I think this church, I think me. It's something that the church doesn't talk a lot about, but needs to. And God has put this on my heart for probably 8 months to speaking to me. And I keep waiting, like, is this the time, God? Is this the time? And apparently it is. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're here. We're going to talk about this word called holiness. Now, don't let that run you off. I know it seems very theological and deep, and it seems very churchy and all those kind of things, but we need to talk about it because we were called to it. Something's missing. Something's missing in the church. And we need to find the pathway to why it's missing. We need a pathway to figure out how to put that in our lives. What does it look like? What's practical? And so we're going to start this series. How many of you have ever said that there's something is missing in my life, but it's missing on purpose? Like, in other words, how many of you, okay, like, where's Wade? Is he out there? Okay, so Wade likes to hunt, right? That is missing in my life on purpose. Okay? Like, I know that there are things we put in our life and we're like, oh, you need to come do this with me. This is going to be great. And you're like, that's good for you, but, you know, give me my space. I don't understand the thing. Let me just talk to you about it for a second. Let me tell you why I don't desire to hunt. And for those of you who do, knock yourself out. Happy for you. Just don't call me to go because I'm not going. First of all, my dad didn't hunt, so it's foreign to me, Gary. My dad didn't hunt. My dad's sister, his only sister, her husband, he didn't hunt. My mom's two sisters, their husbands, they didn't hunt. They were all businessmen and lawyers and stuff like that. So I look back and I go, okay, so my dad didn't hunt. My dad's father, my grandfather didn't hunt. He was a businessman and a lawyer. He started I don't know how many companies. I didn't know his dad. I didn't know my grandmother's dad. So on that side of the family, no hunters. My Uncle Bob, not hunting. On the other side of the family, my mom doesn't have any brothers. Like I said, their wives' husbands, her sister's husbands, they didn't hunt. My grandfather didn't hunt. Matter of fact, my grandfather's family started State Farm Insurance, no offense. And so my Uncle Doug Maherl, who started that business, like none of them hunted. They all worked for State Farm, got the company off the ground to what it is today. My grandfather's father, I never knew. My grandmother's father was like in his 90s. So that's my hunting experience. That's what came down through the line to me, okay? First reason I don't hunt. Second reason I don't hunt, I don't understand getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't even know there were 2 or 4 o'clocks on the clock because one's in my sleep cycle. And I don't understand getting up at that time of day because I'm not a sleeper anyway, so don't get me up. I don't understand. I hate being cold. And hunting season is when is cold. And I hate bundling up. It makes me mad. Like cold weather, the whole thing, Lori will tell you, cold weather makes me mad. I'm a grump. I don't like cold weather and I don't like to bundle up. I will go out to somewhere with very little on and she's like, I don't understand. Don't tell me you're cold. Because I can't stand all of that. So why on earth would I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive to some place in the middle of nowhere and get up in a deer stand and have to be quiet and wait for the sun to go up and I'm freezing and my toes are turning purple to shoot a deer when I can get up at 10 o'clock in the morning and go to Market Basket and get meat? I know it's not game. I don't like gamey food, all right? I don't get it. You know what? It's fine for you. It's fine for Wade. It's fine for Scott. It's fine. Gary, knock yourself out. I don't hunt on purpose. And I don't know what you don't do on purpose, but I'm sure it's something. But here's my question. Is that how we feel about holiness? Like, it's fine for you, but I don't want to do it. It's too much work. I don't like this aspect of it. I don't want to have to get up any earlier than I do to spend time in prayer. I don't want to have to sacrifice something in my life to listen to God. I mean, it's fine for other people, but you don't understand how busy my life is. Let me tell you what just happened and how great it is. You just got your life unbusy for 3 months. Don't waste it. It doesn't matter what you did during those 3 months. You can start now, right? Don't waste it. Don't fill your lives back up so full that you teach your children there's no room for God. It's an opportunity. It is the most incredible opportunity, in my opinion. I left my glasses somewhere. In my opinion, would someone check the back table? Because we can't go any further. Thank you, Corey. They're back there. He's coming. So is that how you feel about holiness? Are you overwhelmed by that word? Is that word foreign to you? Does it seem churchy? Do you think it's only for staff members? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Oop, now put them on upside down. You know, you need glasses to put on your glasses, right? That's bad when you need glasses. But I literally put them on upside down. I'm not kidding. But if we're feeling like holiness doesn't need to be incorporated into our life, maybe that's why our Christian life isn't very successful. Maybe that's why we're the same as we were every time the year rolls around. Maybe that's just sort of part of who we are and how we've just embraced Christianity and we don't know how to go any further. We don't know what we're supposed to do. And listen, I get it. We lean so much on grace and we need to. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us the book of Ephesians, that he lavishes us with grace. That's how bad we need grace. Badly. We're lavishing. Remember I told you about the suntan lotion? It wasn't suntan lotion, but it was baby lotion my mom used to put on me in the summer. I mean, it's like an invitation to burn. Like, let's just slather our children in baby lotion, just dripping off of them, and then we're red as a lobster. Thanks, Mom. That's what he does with grace. He lavishes on us because we know we're not perfect. We know we can never attain perfection. And so we lean so heavily on grace that sometimes we make excuses for grace. We go, I'm not perfect, but thank God for grace. And we stay the same. And that's not what God intended for us to do at all. He never intended that for us. I mean, Jesus is a complete Savior, amen? He didn't just save us from something. He saved us to something. He didn't just save us from our sin, praise God, for grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and all those things. But he didn't just save us from it. He saved us to something. Because if he didn't save us to something, why on earth would this cruel God leave us here? Right? That should be our image of God, that he's cruel. Why would you leave us here to endure all of this if I have no purpose, if I have no direction? But he didn't save us from something. He saved us to something. He didn't just save us from sin. He broke the power of sin for us. And that's where the application comes in. If you don't believe me, let me show you a few things. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It's the 10th book in your Bible. It's in those four little books, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's right after the Corinthians. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, listen to what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, listen to what he says. You should get excited about this, by the way. I'm telling you ahead of time so you don't disappoint me. Oh, my goodness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us. Go ahead and have a spell. Right? He chose us. The holy God of the universe chose these messy people that we are. He chose us. And when did he choose us? He chose us in him. That's where it works, right? Before the creation of the world. So imagine with me for just a moment, God who is not constrained by time, God who knows all things, God who knows the beginning, the middle, and the end of your great, 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 great grandchildren's lives already, because he's everywhere. This wise God is about to make the earth. And he's like, oh, man, when I make this earth, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to make people in my image, and they're going to rebel against me, and I'm going to have to give my son to redeem them. Why didn't he just say, forget it, I'm not even going to do it, right? I mean, I can tell you in my human flesh, that's what I would say. Like, there's no way. I'm not giving my child for all of our rebellion. Why would we do that? And he says, before the creation of the world, he already had made the decision to do it. That's how much he loves us. So if you think God can't love you, liar, liar, pants on fire. Because it's already in God's word. See, I preached to the kids this morning. Somebody laughed. I love it. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be what? Say it. Holy. To be what? Holy and blameless in his sight. Wow. And he did it in love. To be holy and blameless. You're going, but I can't be holy. I don't know how to be holy. Listen, you're not holy in and of yourself. It's in Christ that you're holy, and it's in Christ that you're blameless. And he chose that for you, a completely different path. How amazing is that? That you were destined to die, and now you're destined to live. Because when he sees you, he calls you blameless, because Christ's sacrifice on the cross was completely sufficient for everything you've ever done, are doing, or ever will do, if you're in him. Every sin. But he also says he chose us to be holy. In other words, he chose us for a purpose. We're always out there looking for our purpose. Let's start here. Let's start inside before we start outside. Amen? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, it's right before the book of Hebrews. You're going to have Timothy's, the Titus's, Philemon, and then you'll have Hebrews. So 2 Timothy, the second book of Timothy, Paul again is writing here to this young man that he's mentoring. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, listen to what Paul writes to his son in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says this. He's talking about God. God who has saved us, chapter 1, verse 9, God who has saved us and called us to a what? Holy life. Do you see how we can't get out of this? Like, it's getting deeper. We're sinking. God's called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done. Right? Before the creation of the world, he already knew we'd rebel. He calls us to something not because of our good works. That's why we always talk about how your good works cannot get you to heaven. We want you to be good, but it's not the pathway to heaven. Okay? He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. You have purpose. God's purpose for you is to be holy. That's what it is. So we're always looking, you know, does God want me to be a missionary? Does God want me to go to Africa? Does God want me to take this job or that job? Should I live in this neighborhood or that neighborhood? Let's start on the inside. God wants you to be holy. I don't think God cares where you live if you're pursuing holiness. Because as you pursue holiness, you'll figure the rest of it out. Your experience with God will take you down the pathways you need to go down that will reach the purposes, the external purposes that God has for you. So quit searching for external purposes and let's start with the internal purpose. God's purpose for you is to be holy. One more place. Since we're all the way back here, let's just go to Hebrews. Just a couple of books to your right is the book of Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says this in verse 10. Hebrews 12, 10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. How many of you say that? Yeah? Right? Your dad disciplined you? No one, really. I'm not moving on until you raise your hand. Does your dad discipline you? All right, just making sure. As he thought best. That means he wasn't perfect, right? I mean, he did the best he could, right? But he disciplined us. Why? Because he wanted our life to turn out in such a way that, number one, we represented his name well, and number two, we were a productive citizen, that we contributed. And so here he says, our father disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good so that we may share in his what? Holiness. This verse is cool. To share in his holiness. It doesn't just mean go to heaven where heaven is holy and he is holy and we get to share in that. Like if I invited you to my beach cabin with me one weekend, I don't have one. But if I had one and if I invited you, you would get to share in what I have, right? You get to share in that experience with me. But it's more like I have a sandwich and I'm gonna cut it in half and give you half my sandwich. And you're gonna consume that sandwich and it is yours, and you get to share in the amazing sandwich that I have. And now you know why every time I eat a sandwich, I go, And I don't even like sandwiches, but for the sake of, right? He wants us to share in his holiness.